Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. Get comfortable, maybe light a candle or two. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're always welcome to join us for that. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or simply post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment. Because when I think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been, if he had stepped in. Oh, I got a praise on the inside that can't be denied. And I got to get it out right now. It might get loud.
Good morning, good morning. How is everybody? You know, we tend to kind of filter in a little late here. There's some people in the hall. But as they come in, there's nothing better than walking in a room where they're all praising God together. So let's do that. Please stand and join us in worship. Savior, I come. Quiet my soul. Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. Oh, lead me to the cross. You were as I. Tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. To your heart, to your heart, lead me to your heart, yes. Lead me to your heart, lead me to the cross where your love poured. Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Oh, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Lord, bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. Myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, lead me to the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a seat.
Pray with me. Have a seat. Let's pray together. Gracious, loving God, as the sun rises on yet another morning in our lives, we find ourselves in this place gathered together as your children. We come together experiencing the blessings of life that you give us. We also come together this morning with different trials and with different hurts in our lives. And we know, God, and trust that you meet us right where we are and that it is only you that makes us whole. So this morning on this second Sunday of Easter, help us to remember that the tomb is still empty, that Christ is risen, and help us to see all the ways in which your power and your love and your glory abounds through us all. This morning we pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are suffering right now. We pray for those who continue to recover from the storm and tornado damage, those who are trying to put their lives and their homes back together. That includes members of our own congregation. We continue to pray with them and love them and walk alongside them in all the ways that we can. We pray this morning for Patty Langley and her family on the loss of her husband, Lanny. We pray for the family and friends of Bart Hamby, who passed away earlier this week. We pray for Clifford Smith and for Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett and Mark Schimmer. We pray for David Mackey, for Edith Roberts. We pray for Gail Pulley and Arlen Thomas. Pray for Deborah Gangliff, Bob and Janie Clements, Ryan O'Banion, Linda Staten. And we pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know and trust that you're at work in all of their lives in a mighty way. And above all else, God, we gather this morning, as we always do, to give you thanks and praise for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all the work that he has done in our lives, all the work he continues to do in our lives, and everything he will do in our lives. And God, we thank you for this moment we can come together in prayer as a community to bring our joys and our burdens to you. We thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We'll now say that together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue worshiping with us this morning. You were the one at the beginning, one with God the Lord.
Grace and
your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful and wonderful name. Death could not hold you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life. You have no rival, Lord, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, oh, yours is the glory, yours is.
wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
At this time, we're going to pass the love and the peace of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and those around us. Please say hello to your neighbors and tell them you love them, and so does Jesus.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the sanctuary bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
All right. As you all make your way back, I did just want to take a moment and welcome you to Asbury. I'm so thankful that you are with us today. I'm Brother Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague, Brother Hammett, is out this week, and so he is taking a much-deserved vacation after a very, very busy Holy Week, and so we look forward to having him back with us next week. I did want to take a moment and ask you if you would to log your attendance when you can. You can scan that QR code and do it that way, or you can fill out the Connect tab that the ushers gave you on the way in. The QR code is really the best way to do it because it will unlock a bunch of things for you, including some prayer requests. What's that? Amen. Your grievance has been noted. It never works. Okay. Well, there it is, and if you're able to access it, there's a lot of great stuff in there. Place for prayer requests, events coming up, things you can sign up for and participate in, so we hope that you do take advantage of that. And with that, I'd like to invite the ushers forward as we prepare for our time of offering. This morning's message is about genuine faith, how to keep our faith strong through times of suffering and trials. We'll be looking at a passage from 1 Peter as we do that, and really thinking about Peter's life as a whole. And so with that, I invite you to pray with me. Gracious, loving God, what a blessed opportunity it is to be part of your kingdom right here at Asbury. We know all around us, we don't have to venture far to see the impact that the storms made on our community. We also know that today, a group from Asbury is going over to fill in at a Stone Soup, and we'll be back there again next week.
I'm not a keys player. That's why I like having Diana in here. This song's called Rescue Story. So when I hit wrong notes, just focus on the lyrics, because it's powerful. There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. There you were in the shadows, holding out your hand, you met me there. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes. You carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. Before I needed grace, you're singing songs of redemption, 'cause every time I ran away, you were louder than my
shame. And where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes. You carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You were my testimony. Never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You were my testimony. Oh, you never give up on me. You never give up on me. Oh, this is my testimony. Oh, you were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the desert. In my battles for me, you were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes, you carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story, you were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes. You carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. God, you were my rescue story.
This time I'm going to invite all of our wonderful Asbury children forward
to see Miss Nicole for a children's moment. It's going to be a private lesson.
It is. One-on-one. I like it. Okay, we got some big kids coming. Perfect. How is everybody today? Hi. How are y'all? Good? Everybody good? Okay. Tired? Sleepy? Yeah? The big kids, they're tired. You stayed up too late, didn't you? Yeah. Just a little bit? Okay. Well, I have something that I want to show you that I brought. What do I have? What are those? Coins? You see them? What kind of coins do you see? What do you see? Do you see a quarter, a dime, nickel, penny? That's right. What do we do with these? What do we do with them? We spend it? Do we save them? No, we don't save. Yes, we save and we spend. Does anyone have like a piggy bank or a bank you put coins in or money to keep? No? No? You broke it? Did it, all the coins come out? Kind of, yeah. Okay, well, what do you notice about these coins? What do they have in common? Can you look at them and tell me? What do you notice about them? They're all what? They're all circles. That's right. Do you see something? Are some shiny and some not? Well, you know what is pretty cool about these coins is they all say something on them, and they all say the same thing on them. Do you know what it says? It says, in God we trust. What do you think that means? What does that mean? In God we trust. What do you think it means? We need to trust God. That's right. You're exactly right. We need to trust God. Should we trust God on sad days? Should we trust God on happy days? What about boring days at school? What about when we're arguing with our sister? What about on days when we get to eat all the pizza we want? Should we trust God on those days? Yeah, we have to trust God every day, right? Okay, I want to read you something real quick, a verse from our scripture reading today that stood out to me, and I want you to hear it too. It says, although you've never seen him, you love him. Who are we talking about? God. Even though you don't see him now, you trust him, and so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. So even though we can't see God, we should trust God and love God and know that he's always with us, right? Okay, so maybe next time you see a coin, we can get excited to spend it, but maybe we can use it as a reminder to do what?
To trust him.
To trust him, that's right. You have 53 cents. She has 53 cents, guys. Just saying. All right, are y'all ready to pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the reminders that you give us. Help us this week to remember that no matter what, on any day, we can trust in you always. We love you. Amen.
Amen. That was a wonderful message, and probably better than I'm going to do it. So do you want to call it a day, folks? Of course not. We're already here. Let's see if you guys are still in game shape. Christ is risen. Amen. And thank you for being here on this. Is it the first Sunday after Easter or the second Sunday of Easter? We are still in Easter season, and so I pray that we can keep that Easter feeling rolling this morning. Our scripture this morning is from Peter's first letter. It's chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 9 and hear what he has to say about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through his faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power so that you can receive the salvation he is ready to reveal in the last time. You now rejoice in this hope, even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials. This is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed, even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've never seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you trust him. And so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, your salvation. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we are humbled to be together this morning to stand here before your word. And so God, we ask that you are with us during this time, that these words be yours and that they are true. God, we ask that you transform us through the message today to hear you more clearly, to see our Savior more clearly. We ask all this in your son's name. Amen. Yeah, I hope that when I get to heaven, hopefully when I get to heaven, I have decided that there are many people that I want to ask questions to. And it's many of the people in the Bible. I want to ask Moses what it was like to hear God's voice in a burning bush. I want to ask Elijah what it was like to ride up in a chariot to heaven and never experience death. I want to ask Lazarus what it was like to get up and walk out of the tomb. And I want to ask Mary Magdalene what it was like to come to the empty tomb on Easter morning. What did that feel like to see that it was empty? But I think more than anyone else, the person I want to ask a question of is Peter. Peter the Apostle. And I want to ask him one question and one question simply. Was it all worth it? Did following Christ and everything that you endured in your earthly life because of that, was it all worth it? If you were here on Monday, Thursday, Brother Hammett did an incredible job of taking us through how all of the disciples were martyred, those that did die and those that died for the faith. And so what we learned at that night, and what you may have already know or what you may be hearing for the first time, is that Peter, when he was put to death, was crucified upside down. And the reason why he was crucified upside down was because he did not believe that he was worthy to have the same death as his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other person apart from Jesus Christ. So we get to know Peter pretty well. We hear about his call to discipleship, the willingness to drop the net and leave his life behind to follow Christ. We know that he followed Jesus out onto the water and for a brief moment was able to walk on water. We also know that he was at the transfiguration, that he saw the glory of Christ revealed on the mountaintop. And we know that he was the one who God put the words into to say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Here's what we also know about Peter. We also know Peter was a bit arrogant. He was a bit mouthy. We know that he didn't take very many steps out onto that water, and then his faith started to shake, and he started to drown. And the only person that could save him was Christ. We know that shortly after he recognized Jesus as the Messiah, he rebuked Jesus for saying he was going to go die. And what did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." So Peter was the only apostle that Jesus called Satan. How would you like that in the annals of history forever? We know that Peter was the one to deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed twice. I will say this, at least Peter was there. The other 10 disciples didn't even show up. He was at least there in the outer court. But he did. He was the one that denied Jesus. And so despite all of Peter's successes, his life in Christ, this following of Christ, was covered with failures as well. Peter gave perhaps the greatest sermon ever given in Acts 2. It was the first sermon at Pentecost. And it doesn't matter, I don't care how many sermons you sit through here at Asbury, you will never hear a sermon that comes close to touching that one. So he has that to his name as well. But Peter writes this letter to the churches in Asia Minor, this letter that we call 1 Peter, from a really special place. Because it's not from this lofty place of seminary books and Sunday school classes. He's not coming in on high saying that I know this better than you. No, no, no. Peter is writing this letter from the muck. He's writing this letter a few years before he dies at the hands of Emperor Nero. He is in Rome. We know that because in the book it says writing from Babylon, and that was a hidden phrase for meaning I was in Rome. So he was in the most dangerous place. We know what Emperor Nero did to Christians. He would line them up in his garden, light them on fire, and they would be human torches to light his garden. So it was not a great time to be a Christian. But Peter had seen enough that when he sent a letter out, he was a person that was speaking with credibility. He wasn't just speaking as an apostle of Christ that I'm one of these great disciples. He could say, "I have been through the suffering." And that's the purpose of this letter. He is addressing the suffering and the trials that Christians are going through. There was a composer many, many years ago. His name was Edward Elgar, and he was a very significant composer for his time, and he was invited to listen to a young lady, a very good singer, sing one of the songs that he had composed. And so he went to her dress rehearsal, and he listened to her, and her voice was beautiful. She had perfect pitch, perfect tone. She sang with a powerful voice. Everything about it appeared to be perfect. And so when the person that invited Sir Edward there asked him what he thought about her performance, he said it was good, but she will be great when something happens to break her heart. He said she will be great when something happens to break her heart. Peter's able to write these words of encouragement to the churches in Asia Minor because he has credibility. And we want that in our leaders. We want credibility. We want to know that it's someone who has been there, someone that has been through it and isn't just writing in from on high. And so I've always appreciated that about Peter's letters because I have a really hard time with something that he put in that passage. And it's right there in verse 6. He uses two words in one sentence that don't go together: rejoicing and suffering. And I don't know about you guys, but in the suffering that I've been through in my life, the last thing I want to do is rejoice. But he is able to do that. And here's what I know. I know that trials in life are always unwelcome. We go through life with this cadence to it. We reach this point where our Mondays kind of bleed into our Tuesdays and bleed into our Wednesdays, and we have a routine. We go to work, and once we're at work long enough, we know what to expect when we're there. If we have kids, we're running around with them everywhere. If we don't, we're trying to keep up with our own schedules and our own friends and loved ones. And so we get into this routine, and it gets comfortable, and you go through your day by day by day. And I always think about Peter. This week, I'm supposed to be giving you guys some understanding of this thing in 1 Peter, but I can't stop thinking about Peter's life. And I think about what he was like as a young man before he ever met Jesus, probably sitting in a fishing boat with a schedule that looked very similar to most of ours. Probably had a pretty regular routine to when he fished, and then he'd come home, and there would be his loving wife, and I'm sure his incredibly loving mother-in-law. And his life had a routine to it. Our lives have that routine, but then something comes along in our world and it sends it into an upheaval. And it might be a phone call from a doctor or from a family member. It might be a major crisis at home, or you might have a relationship that is near and dear to you that begins to fray and fall apart. And all of a sudden you find yourself in this place that you weren't expecting, that you weren't prepared for, and that you certainly didn't want. See, trials and sufferings in life are a lot like a color palette, meaning it's infinite in the number of ways in which trials come to us. You know, there's an old joke that when the senior pastor goes on vacation is when the bottom falls out. This week alone, I've had 14 calls or texts about issues in our own congregation. And it ranges from medical issues to issues about stress, about jobs, pray for my children. And as you heard during the prayer, we've even lost a couple of folks this week. They all come in different forms. I look out across our congregation today, and I know that so many of you have experienced trials and experienced suffering, experienced hardship, and very rarely do they look the same. We know that those trials are going to happen in life no matter what, but these aren't the trials that Peter is talking about. Because we know, we've been around long enough to know that there is pain in the living, in just living life. The trials that he's talking about is what happens when we give our life over to Christ. And so something I was thinking about was there had to be this moment, and there had to be this reason why Peter would step out of the boat and follow this Jesus character. Follow this great teacher who drew a lot of awe, but a lot of ire of so many. And he knew he was stepping into something different, but he had no idea how different it would be. He went on this journey from young man in a fishing boat to an older man being nailed to a cross, and it was one that he never could have expected or predicted. When we think about our life in Christ, when we really give our life over to Christ, we get sent on a journey that we never expected. I want you to look back on your own life and think about all the places you have gone, all the people that you have met, everything that you have done and experienced that you never could have predicted. When we give our lives over Christ, it doesn't make us immune to tragedy or sorrow, because death will still touch us. We will still lose people that we love, and there will be illness and struggle and stress and pain. And sometimes it would just be easier to walk away from it all. But when we look into the empty tomb and we see the risen Lord, when we see Christ in his fullness, we realize that we are not alone, that Christ resides in us and walks alongside us, that our way is a way of peace and not a way of pain. And I wonder if you can see that in your own life, that unexpected journey for following Christ, that where it has taken you, the ups and downs that have come along with it, the times where you just didn't feel like Christ was near because of the pain. Now here's the part where we'll actually talk about the scripture. When Peter talks about an inheritance, what he is talking about is not some trust fund gift. It's not something also that we can earn on our own for anything we do. Our inheritance is a gift that is given freely to us by God through Christ's death on the cross. And it's because of our inheritance that we can approach this life with genuine faith. I love the way Nicole talked about it. In God we trust. In God we trust all the time. Because it really comes down to whether or not we can believe what we cannot see. And whether or not we can trust what is not right in front of our eyes, what we can't see in the moment. But we're able to look back on our lives and look into our hearts and see that the fingerprints of Christ are all over it. J.D. Watts said, to have true faith means believing in things you cannot see, just as true love means making choices you never thought you'd have to make. When Peter talks about rejoicing in our trials, what he is talking about is knowing that God brings you through those trials, and you can be in awe of what he is able to do when he brings you out on the other side. We are all works in progress. If you're a Methodist, you believe that we are all just works in progress. We're being reshaped, remolded like a potter and clay as we move on this road towards our salvation. It can be up and down. There are times where we feel Christ on the mountaintop, and there's times where we feel alone in the valley. But it was like I told the confirmation kids 2 weeks ago, it's hard to see Christ in the valley, but you know that the mountaintop is right around the corner. Following Christ can push up against all that we want and all that we believe we deserve. And Peter experienced that. I would imagine that following Christ in the early going was easy. He must have had such a great sense of ego to be following this guy that was so popular. It must have been easy to be part of that in crowd with these huge masses following, watching loaves and fish multiply and watching people heal and watching the dead rise. But Peter, like everybody else, the closer it got to the cross, the harder it got. It was much easier to run away. And so for us, when we face trials, when things get hard, how do we handle it? When the cross is near, will we run like Peter did the first time, or will we approach it like he did the second time? It doesn't tell us, but I'd like to imagine that when Peter was finally being nailed to that cross, he wasn't screaming out of fear or pain. I'd like to believe that he looked down and told them, hey, why don't you add one more nail? Martin Luther said, faith is a living and unshakable confidence. A belief in God so assured that a man would die 1,000 deaths for its sake. It took Peter a long time to figure that out. It takes us a long time to figure that out. But in this season of Easter, I pray that the empty tomb, that the resurrected Christ is powerful in your life. I pray today that you take a moment and look back and look at Christ's fingerprints that have been all over it. And I pray that you find rest and peace and comfort in that. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, I thank you so much for this moment. I thank you for all that you teach us, even the things we cannot see. And I ask today that as we walk through the trials we are facing, as may we do so with your love in our hearts, and may we do so in a way that loves each other. We are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for all that he has done for us. And God, we ask today that you continue to reshape us and transform us, to help us see that this journey is a journey that you are always leading us on. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for our last song, I just want to invite you, if you have been visiting for some time and you are interested in learning more about Asbury, learning more about its ministries, we would love to talk to you about that. If you are interested in professing your faith through the sacrament of holy baptism, we can do that as well. Just email myself or Brother Hammett. And of course, as always, we want you to experience worship in a powerful way. And so the prayer rails are open, as they always are. We have our prayer wall right over there where you can put in prayers, and we pray over those every week. Perhaps you want to stand right where you are and sing to a loving God. However you choose to do that, let us stand together for our final song.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Sing that again. Then came the morning.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the
Thank you for being with us this morning. It was such a joy and a pleasure to be in worship with you. Just a few things before we get out of here. We have Stone Soup this afternoon, actually, at 1:30. We are filling in for another church that wasn't able to do it today. And Asbury, of course, filled the hole, and it was wonderful. Next Sunday, that we always do. It's our normal scheduled one. And we are currently collecting summer items. So shorts, T-shirts, socks and underwear are always critical. We're also collecting deodorant right now because it is getting a lot warmer outside. So if you're able to donate those items, please bring them by the church or bring them with you next Sunday to Stone Soup, and we'll get those distributed out. On the 30th, which is 2 weeks from this morning or today, we'll have our Starting Point class during the Sunday school hour. That is an opportunity for folks who have been visiting to learn more about the Methodist Church and learn more about life at Asbury. And so I hope that you consider that. And then on Sunday, May 7th, it is our Senior Sunday here at Asbury. We are so excited about that. We have four graduating seniors that we are going to recognize that morning during both services. So please plan on being here for that to celebrate with them. And then that night, we are going to invite you back to Asbury for a night of tacos and trivia. And so that should be a fun night. It is a youth fundraiser. And what we are raising money for is travel to Colorado and also help alleviate some of the costs for the adults going on summer trips. They're giving their time and their talent. If we can make it a little bit cheaper for them, that would be great. So that'll be the purpose of that fundraiser. Plus, it'll be fun, and I mean, it's tacos, right? It's tacos. So, okay, so we hope that you are here. Anyway, Brother Hammond will be back next week, and he'll be preaching next Sunday, and I believe he's going to talk about Jesus visiting the disciples, especially a conversation with Thomas. And if you remember from your little Bible study days, we called him Doubting Thomas. So we hope that you're back for that. Please receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you. And may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace. Amen.
We're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward